recording now is Alicia and
Alyssa.
So the question that we were asked was to choose one quote from the front cover and discuss how it relates to the introduction.
So the quote we chose was, "There are three kinds of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics."
It relates to the introduction because the introduction talks about the secrets of statistics and how statistics can be like almost like magic in my point of view, how like it's secret ways to it and how you can use statistics to do a lot of things. So the quote to me relates to it because in a high sense, like, statistics doesn't lie, but it can also tell falsified stories at the same time. And I think that the quote fits it well because I think statistics is part, in a small way, statistics is part of a lie that is talked about and that is played.
They rely on a very small sample of substantiate their claims. So we talked about this a little bit in our first podcast, but I guess we didn't really explain this well. But we kind of said that advertisers only rely on a small amount of people to up their
scores.
Yeah, to prove their claims, because if you only choose from a small amount of people, and then the chances of you having, you know what I'm saying? Can you explain it better?
Because if you take data from a small group of people, than a large group of people, the chances of you getting, like, the data that you want in a small group is higher than you get in a large group because you have more mixed feelings in the group. So, like, I think that, well, we think that, like, advertisers use small groups to show, like, they have higher numbers when in reality that they don't, so it makes them look better. Like, if I was, like, that toothpaste advertisement, it's good to choose a small amount of people because then in the head it looks like, okay, well, 85% of the people liked it when it was only six people there. So out of the six people, 85% of the people liked it and the rest didn't. Then if you use, like, a whole classroom full of people, which is, like, 30 people, and you have more people with different opinions, then you'll have lower numbers.
So it's, like, the less people you choose, the higher their opinion is, the higher their vote is. It's not necessarily worth more, but when you do a percentage, or you do 3 out of 6 people said that they like this toothpaste better, that's already 50%. You only tested 6 people. Or if you do 3 out of 4 people, that's 75%, which is high, but in reality you only looked at 4 people's opinions rather than 40 people's opinions.
Which, it gives them good numbers, and then it makes other people who didn't take the thing, or like who's going to go buy the product, think to themselves like, oh, so many people tried it out, then that makes me want to go try it out, because then if they liked it, then there's a chance that I'm going to like it, when in all reality it wasn't that many people that liked it. So that's when the quote from before comes in with how statistics can lie, because you can think that it was so many people there when it wasn't.
Yes, like, what does the author mean? He means that nobody is exactly normal. Nothing is black and white. Like,
there's no chance
you're
that, like,
you're not always gonna get the perfect results. It's not always gonna be 50 heads, not always gonna be 50
yeah,
heads.
It's not gonna
you're
always
not
be
always
split.
Gonna have 50 people agree on something and 50 people not agree on
yeah,
something.
Yeah. That's just like, yeah. Okay. It's just like, you're not,
pretty much nobody's perfect.
You can't go out, like, say you go collect data, you can't go out and get the exact data that you're looking for or the exact data that you want. Like, it's not going to happen at all. Like, if you have 30 people and you want to see who likes chocolate ice cream and vanilla ice cream, 15 people are not going to say chocolate ice cream and 15 people are not going to say vanilla ice cream. It's never going, it's like,
it could happen, but the chances are rare.
The rare that it's going to be a split decision.
In chapter 3, on page 50, they start talking about grape nut flakes and another kind of flakes called, if you want to be happy, you've got to eat like happy. And the first one, there's two graphs. The first graph, which is cowboy version number 1, has a y-axis and an x-axis, and both are labeled. And these graphs are pretty much explaining how when you eat the flakes 2 minutes later, you should have more energy. And both graphs show that after 2 minutes, there's some type of change, but only on cowboy version number one does the y-axis labeled. On version number two, it's not labeled, so you don't know how much energy you have after you eat them and after 2 minutes. And then on the next page, on page 51, there's a blank graph.
Okay. Labeled with years starting from 1923, and it shows you it's a graph, but the x-axis label and not the y-axis. And then there's just this line in the middle of the graph, which shows you, like, there's a little bit of increase and decrease, but at the same time, like, you don't really know what's going on because not all axis is labeled. And I think this kind of tells you that, like,
it emphasizes how important this is, because when we're looking at this, we can't
read it without
without those parts. We don't know what else is going on. I mean, we know because the book says it, but just looking at this and not really knowing what it's about or what it's comparing or whatever, you can't really read it in the proper way.
Tells you the importance of labeling graphs and, like, the effect that it has.
And then during this same part of the book, it's talking a lot about how numbers can vary and how you take an average and assume that that's how it's going to be all the time, because that's the highest and the lowest. It's not the same thing every day.
Yeah.
It's the highest and the lowest numbers.
But that's because, like, you know, like, say you take a certain amount of data one day with a certain amount of people, it might change the next day, like, mm-hmm. depending on what you do.
And also, when they were talking about the record temperatures in Oklahoma City, it went from lowest of negative 17 degrees to highest of 113 degrees. So the range
was 130.
Was 130 degrees.
Goodness.
So you can't, and the average was 60.2. But
okay.
Just proving what we talked about before, negative 17 and 113 are way far apart. And the average isn't something that you can use to base everything off of that. There's a range of temperatures rather than just an average. For test scores, you can use an average. For other things, you can use an average, but not for weather, because that's something that's always changing drastically, depending on where you are.
So basically, for data that's, like, doesn't have a set thing or a constant thing, you can't use average for. So the next thing is the testing with the IQ scores. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So for the IQ scores.
Oh, Peter's IQ score was 98 and Linda's was
104.
101.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 98 and 101. So with the IQ score, they only test your IQ. So they don't test any of your social judgment, musical, artistic, or any other things like personality, emotion balance, and it's only given in school. Their quick and cheap score, it's just not the average. So in here they said that the average should be from 90 to 110, and that's comparing a child in this range with a higher or lower score, but comparisons between figures with small differences are meaningless. If someone's bad at reading, you can help them explain the question and they still can get the answer right. This is all on their own, so if someone struggles in one area but is still capable of getting the correct answer, there's no help that can help them get to that point.
Okay, so one thing in the book, it says that, like,
you always have to keep that plus or minus in mind, even when it's not stated right in front of you. And if you ignore this, it can lead to like crazy things that you wouldn't expect to happen.
So they're saying that Linda has no better than 55 probabilities of being within the range, but Peter is not superior. So, like, Linda's score is better than Peter's because of the 98 to 104 rule. that is going on with the IQ scores, which I think that, like, there should be a differences in averages because, like, what if someone scores higher and then what if someone scores lower? Does it mean that the person higher does a better job than the person lower? Or does it mean that, like, the person lower scored better than the person higher? Like, how does it work if you don't have set, like, you know, stops? Just like if you were running a race and you have, like, different laps and stuff.